This is the second side of this tape, and this is June the 1st, 1963, at Chattanooga, Alaska. And in the room with me is Judy Erick and Mrs. Anna McCrae, old-timer from the early days of Alaska here. And we'll continue with a little more conversation on the tape. Now you were going to tell me something else about
Chattanooga here.
Who's in town?
What did you want to hear now?
Well, the odd things that's happened around here. How about the berries and the vegetation,
oh,
the gardens, and
oh,
things that people don't know about Alaska? We want to let
Harry,
people know the things
I'm telling you that people will not believe.
I used to, you know, in the older days we had stables here. Oh, I want to see you, my little sleigh. We used to have a little pony here. A fellow by the name of Beaton up the river used to have a pony. And we have a little sleigh, and it's in my backyard, and if anybody would fix it, they should take it into the Pioneers.
Fix that, and I'll take a quick view and reveal.
My goodness, I'm not dressed.
Oh, no, no, those off-cuff, the black and white, they don't show anything anyhow.
It's nice.
You mentioned about that sleigh the other day, a lady down on First Avenue by the firehouse called Frank Young said she had a rocker. Someplace out in the creek, somebody was wrecking an old-fashioned rocker, so she brought it in.
That's interesting.
And I went over and picked it up and took it down and put it in Frank's yard, see, so we can take it down to the park later.
Do you have somebody that's very handy in fixing these things?
Oh, we've got lots of volunteers
as
soon as we get ready to work.
I think you better take this in because I got that from... They have taken everything we had in Chattanooga, and I took a lot of wheels.
I think that's what's back in the car, isn't it?
And this little,
does is break the surface on it and forms a disease.
and decays.
The disease is caused by bugs?
Yeah, bugs.
It's a disease of bugs, any diseases of bugs.
Sometimes some trees have been known to burst with frost. I've seen any number of trees that the ice, the extra cold weather has burst them, and they will become ruptured just like that.
Yes.
They don't form the same as a diamond.
Yes.
There's lots of them.
And then, is that the reason they don't usually get very big? Is because they're just...
Well, willow isn't a big tree. A willow,
yeah, but you said most of them are the size of that tree.
That's right. Willows are small. And that's an exceptionally large willow there.
But similar, I think that two or three of these little willows get together and forms one.
You know, they do that.
Yes. There, we have one, I'll show you the tree just in the yard before you leave.
Mr. McQuaid, did you bring in these flowers?
No, I raised them here.
From seed?
This was all, this fall, every fall I cut that straight through, Harry. This is all grown since January. This is all new.
Now, another thing out here to Mr. McQuaid's house, we find she has a pet parakeet out here that's very smart, but he's decided to sleep on.
I wish he would talk to us. He will if he wants to. And of course, in the winter time, we don't work, and we have that's why we do lots of extra things like the finishing the diamond willows. And my husband made that clock you see there. He's very handy in doing things like that.
Well, I'm sorry that you're here.
I made this table, and I want you to see who this. I was trying to paint. You remember he used to work for the Alaska Steamship Company,
yes.
Bob.
Bob McGammon?
No.
Fisher?
Carpenter. I can't remember now, but he used to be an agent. It was
Bob McKenna was a contractor,
yes.
For a long time before,
yes.
He worked for the Alaska Railroad.
Oh, yes, but this man just worked in, he's passed away, but I was trying to get him. He used to have a little cap on his head, and I thought I'd paint it on this old table. And I used to paint bolts on this myself, but I couldn't make a drawer, Harry. If you look underneath, see there?
Well, you didn't learn the little trick with the fireplace on this side.
I couldn't put that drawer in it. So I left it just like that. It's lots of fun. I have never been lonesome in Chattanooga, even after the war when we came up, Harry, and there was nobody here. There's so many beautiful things, you know, in life that we can, you know, really enjoy.
Have they stopped people from shooting through the brush out here?
No, they haven't. They still do it. I was pretty near shocked once.
That's
or twice.
One thing that most of them left, to which they restrict their farms to people that know,
yes.
How to use them.
Yes, absolutely.
This militia shooting is no good.
Because that one year I was hanging up my clothes and the shot just came about 2 inches from my ear. And I just didn't know what to do, so I yelled in the middle of the road and kept on yelling, please don't shoot. And here there was 3 soldiers down the road. And they said they didn't know there was a house here. And that is...
So people coming up to visit Alaska must remember it's just like the States. There's people living all over the country.
I think myself, it's most of it, these soldiers that is ready with these guns. They're more readier than ordinary people. They never go without these guns. And I think the Army should do something about it. I feel very...
The Army has started to do something about it. Some of the companies here are restricted to no personal firearms, and they can't use their firearms except on actual duty on the loop.
Well, I tell you, that's really wonderful.
They're working on that now.
Because I've seen them very, very careless.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But I found civilian and construction workers that pull in here from the States.
Oh, yes.
That do things here that they wouldn't do at home.
Yes. You know, in the olden days, Judy, we used to have Mrs. From the university, Mrs. Von Hampton, come came out here and she used to learn us all to do soul. She'd come once a month and we used to have a homemakers club out here. And we had even a bridge club. And of course in the olden days we used to play pan, which they call it a pangeen. It was an old timers used to play. And we had a big, in the winter time, big piece of board so that 20 of us could get around it. And 20 people can play that game. And in the winter time, we used to cart this board from house to house, play this pangeen all winter long, and really have lots of fun. We used to have dances and singing. And
also at Livingston.
And the people from the station. You know, the biggest thrill I believe I've ever got is when KFAR came on. We didn't have a radio them days, but when this radio station came on, I'll never forget it. Bless Captain Lindrum. I just thought that this was really something to hear the news on the radio. It was just marvelous.
Here, just a minute after it happened.
Oh, it was wonderful, you see, because we used to have, of course, radios we could get all over.
I shipped many of that reset to Alaska before I came up.
Yes, we used to get even Russia. Japan, when the war started, you know, Harry, during, my husband went out during the war, was a little bit too old for the Navy, so he joined the Merchant Marine, and he was 4 years in the Merchant Marine during the last war. So I moved out to Seattle at that time. There's this picture, Harry, there.
What part of Seattle did you live in?
I lived in Ballard. We bought a little house in Ballard there. It was very nice. Of course, Murdo had his papers. He had his first mate's papers, but the lure of a lot that brought him back. Even after him working himself up to be, he would have been captain the next year, but he still wanted to be back to Alaska. What is in Alaska that draws people, Harry?
Falls went out to Livingston the other day, and he's going to run that cap. A man that's 84, he'll be 85 his next birthday.
Yeah.
Out running that cap.
Just
Caterpillar. That big piece of machinery. All alone. If, say, he ever got stuck in something, there's nobody can help him.
Who is that?
Ben Falls.
Oh, yes. Well, Don Guinness used to do that on Dome alone. But just the same, it's dangerous. What else did you want to find out about that? About the garden, though. I didn't
yeah,
finish garden that garden.
The vegetables, that's right.
We took all, I made a garden right on the tailings, you know, more or less on raw ground. And
was
I took the peat. We have lots of peat here, and we have lots of the where we used to have this, the horses, you know, and the stables and that, and we mixed up that. And I used to have cabbage that you couldn't even lift. And I seen myself putting, now this is hard to believe, unless you have done it yourself. I put potatoes in about the 18th of June. And I picked them in the end of August and ate them. Now that is how quickly that the...
About 9 or 10 weeks.
Just 9 or 10 weeks. And that's all you need. And we had cabbage down there, right in the hill there. Our house used to be there, but there's nobody there now.
Have you ever used the wild rhubarb?
Oh, yes. There isn't anything we don't use. You take the leaves of the wild rhubarb and you can use it as spinach, the best spinach you ever tasted. And you know the wild flowers that grows at the edge of the to make you you know, I tell you, I had an experience. In the olden days, I used to leave, Harry, my house open so that the old timers would be passing through from the creeks, would come in and eat whatever they could find. Even if we were in town for 18 days, my home was open so that people could go in and out as they wanted on the trail. Now, I cannot leave my house. I have to lock my house now because everything would be stolen if I leave my house open. And these are the things that we miss so much, is just that, it isn't a good feeling not to have faith and not to trust. Because if you have faith in God, you mistrust your fellow man. But I don't know just what I'm going to feel like. I just still don't trust my house now open.
But I've discovered over the last few years, since this war, in the last 20 years, there's an awful lot of people come into Alaska that wouldn't do the things at home that they've attempted to do here.
I don't think so either.
They just absolutely have no respect
for it. I'm going to tell you just the same, the young ones is intelligent, and the young people, some of them comes up here. We have two families now, and sometime I'd like Judy to come up with me to Bell Creek and see that boy. My husband gave him a job in the dredge, and see that boy stake 160 acres in the wilderness. He went to town. He ate his own strawberries that he put down last year. He'll have a house built this year. He bought our electric plant and our garage, and he is going, and he says in a couple of years he's going to have a pig. Now, I call that courage, because this boy now has a little baby, and they lived in a tent and did that, right on Bell Creek. You know how far Bell Creek is? It's quite a ways up. And of course, now it's helped him that he's working on the dredge. And he intends putting a little cafeteria, meeting place up there for next year, a little roadhouse, and raise his own vegetables. So we have still young pioneers. Oh, yes.
But that class is so thin now.
Yes.
You encourage more of
them. That's right. That kind of people, if we could get them up here, it would be just marvelous to have these. And there's another couple of boys across the, you remember Kashiar Roadhouse? They're building a house there. It's hard to believe, but we have all kinds of people up there.
There's lots of good people coming.
This Steese Highway now.
But the few stinkers that come up here, we wish they wouldn't come.
Oh, well, you find that any place. You find that any place.
Well, now I'm going to stop the tape, and we're going down and look at this
piano.
Old piano that Mrs. McCrae has here.
All right. We're going to have a cup of tea first.
Okay.
We're walking down the main street of Chattanooga as a ghost town, and the buildings are all vacant around here, and Mrs. McCrae is describing...
Leave this till we get in there. I want to get this fellow.
Now we're coming up to the old FE office. The FE is the Fairbanks Exploration Company. What kind of piano is that? Boss? It's a BAUS piano company. That's this old early day piano with that music on the table. And Miss Judy's taking some pictures. We're now entering the old FE mess house where they used to feed the early day miners here.
And this is Boston's service, broken leg. We brought it from town so that we could recuperate.
What was your name?
Severance.
Severance? How long you been here, Oscar?
Oh, 12 years.
12 years? How long you been in Alaska?
Just
12 years. You come into the country. Well, I'm with the pioneers, and we're recording as much history as you can. Some of it is apparently current, but it reflected what happened in the past. Now we're back in the dining room and kitchen here, and the cook is making a lot of pastry. Yes.
This is Mr. Simpson.
He took a run out, so we can see him. Got some nice cinnamon rolls here and bread. And they really feed here like they used to. Mr. Simpson?
How are you?
Eric,
Miner. They're taking history of Chattanooga on their the recording should be on now.
When did you come up here, Jimmy? What year did you come into Alaska? 1932. You've been here quite a while, haven't you?
Yeah.
Have you been working for the FE most of the time?
No, just 16.
control pretty well.
Mr.
May? Mr. Taylor, yeah, I'm Taylor, yeah, I knew I. Oh, huh? Yeah, come over here by me, Jimmy. The Judy's taking a few more pictures here of the baker with these beautiful bread and cinnamon rolls. James Simpson is the baker here, Chattanooga.
Chattanooga, Alaska. I'm in the home of some real old-timers. I have Judy Eric of the News Miner with me to interview Mr. and Mrs. McCrae about some of the early history of Chattanooga. Now, Mrs. McCrae,
Well, I'm not so really early. You see, I haven't I've been steady here since 1934, before Judy was born, but at the same time, I really don't call myself the real old.
Judy Eric of the News Miner with me to interview Mr. and Mrs. McCrae about some of the early history of Chattanooga. Now, Mrs. McCrae,
Well, I'm not so really early. You see, I haven't I've been steady here since 1934, before Judy was born, but at the same time, I really don't call myself the real old-timers, because there is no families here like there was in the olden days. We used to have at that time about 35 families, and we had the school, and we had teachers, and but now, there is only about three women, which is only three white women and two Eskimo ladies. And we used to live in a house below this house. And the old-timers now, used to in the olden days, we were working for the American Smelting, Refining and Mining Company, that took over and bought all the ground from the old-timers. And, of course, this was before our time. There've been a few of them, which our house was on claim to 12 in Chattanooga. Now, these old-timers, I used to love to talk to them and listen to them telling stories about what happened in the olden days. And they told me that their was seven saloons right underneath my home, right on the creek. There was a hospital in Cleary, and there was a big hotel there, different organizations. And you talk about women working now. I think that the women of the olden days, the men spoiled them because there were such a few of them. And of course they did work hard, but they were really ladies because all these old timers respected women and loved them and took care of them and did for them. And of course, I think now, when I look down under the hill now, there is nothing there but growth that wasn't even there. Trees, as far as my eye can see, nothing but trees now, which used to be nothing, no foliage there whatsoever. And of course, this company is dredging, and they dredged and bought all these old-timers out. And I used to know a fellow by the name of Two-Step Louie, we used to call him. And he used to live over the hill. And he used to come and stop in Chattanooga. And why they call him Two-Step Louie was because he used to love to dance the two-step. And one time he wanted the favor of one lady that he liked very much. And he told her if she would dance the two-step with him, that he would give her the poke of gold he had, which was worth $50,000 in that poke. And she did dance with him, and he gave her this poke, and many a time I danced with Two-Step Louie.
Oh,
I mean, rub it off.
Oh, you, I can't do that. It's gone. I'll leave it on the table.
That's all right, what she said.
Yeah, that was all right. Let me ask you something, Mr. McGray. We'd like to get a little of your personal, junior husband, when you come in here, and where you come from, and what brought you to Alaska. We'd like to go on to that.
Well, yes. When my husband came up to Alaska during the Depression, there was a man came out to Seattle. We were married in Seattle. We're married 34 years this fall. And there was a man by the name of Bill McLeod, which was a cousin of mine, was in Seattle, and the Depression at that time was kind of hard outside. So he said, come on, he says, young man, come up with me to Alaska. And he's the man that put in the Davidson ditch for the FE, as we call American Smelting and Refining. And he said, Murdo, come on up with me. And this was in 1926. He was 26 years old. He was in the Navy in the old country. We come from a little island in the north of Scotland. And we went to school together there. And we were in the same grade. And of course, I came to Seattle. And then my husband came after, and we got married in Seattle. And of course, he came up then in 1926 and worked on the Davidson ditch. He was the first ditch walker the company had at that time. Of course, he got kind of sick on something, and he had to come outside. And of course, we were married in Seattle. And he said, well, I want to go back up with you to Seattle, to Fairbanks. And he said, no, he says, you're not. The mosquitoes will eat you alive. Well, he came up again and worked with this Bill McLeod. And he said that he loved the hills of Chattanooga so much. Because at that time there wasn't this heavy trees that we have now.
No brush here.
No brush. So he said that it looked so much like the hills of home. And I think my husband loved Chattanooga ever since. He just loved Chattanooga from the first. So then I figured, well, if he's going to make his life up there, I was in business in Seattle at the time, and I said, I'll come up with you. So I didn't come up with him in 1926, but I had a brother with the Alaska Steamship Company. He's retired from there. And I came on a trip with him in 1925 to the coast. And I kind of liked the coast. But my husband said he would rather really the interior than the coast because it was too wet. So that's why that we came to Fairbanks. And we came to Chattanooga, and we have been off and on ever since in Chattanooga. And we both love it here.
About how many people were in this?
There was 35 families. I said in the other at that time, only, but there was scattered miners, and of course you remember we had Smith over it, and we had Wolf Creek, they were mining, and quite a few of the miners, and of course you remember, Harry, that Cleary Hill mine was bored then.
But they mined Wolf Creek twice. Maybe also mined it the second time. Remember that?
Yes, yes. And Ed Johnson, who's outside. Of course, all these old-timers, they're outside now, Harry. Most of them, and some of them, of course, is dead. And I had half a dozen old men at that time here in Chattanooga, which has gone to the rest since.
Mr. McRae, a few days ago, it was brought to our attention that there was a piano with quite a bit of history here in Chattanooga that the FD company and the people had been preserving. It was used in the schoolhouse. Can you kind of put a string on that?
Well, about this piano, the school, when we came, the school was here, and we had, I think we must have had close to 15 children at that time in school. And it was before my time now that this piano was presented by the community to the school and the children. In memory of Chest of Chattanooga, they presented it to the school.
To the local school.
To the local school, so the children would have a piano. And there's two of them still living here, Harry. If you get hold of Chance Wilson, had a part in that.
I know Chance.
And another one is Dick Lindstrom.
Dick Lindstrom. In, up on the steel
in town, he had part in that, and of course the Trossett is still living, and Mr. and Mrs. Casey is still living there in California, of the people that donated this piano. And of course, Harry, we have an awful lot, Judy, we have a lot of the children that went to school here, like Reed Wilson and the O'Leary boys is in Fairbanks.
Ed Farrell have to do with
Ed Farrell. Well, Ed Farrell, very likely, was...
He lived here too?
Yeah, they lived in Cleary.
Down in Cleary.
They were in Cleary.
But they took up a public subscription. The people
donated it. And...
do you think in your mind preservation of that piano would be kind of important to the climate?
Oh, yes. Harry, I went to you know that some people was up in the school, and they're living in the school now, people. And the piano was stolen from the school, and halfway between it being stolen where they hid it, my husband found it. And he said, that piano is not going to be stolen. So he took the piano and put it in the FE office and locked that office and took care of it ever since. Because we felt it was very, very important, this piano, and it's still in tune.
Well, now, do you think any of the people that had any part?
Oh, this would be wonderful.
To being given to the pioneers of
Mr. and Mrs. Ted Loftus said that would be one of the most wonderful things, to think that this piano would be in really memorial to the Chattanooga community, which is not anymore. There's nobody in Chattanooga after this year.
I believe the other day something about that you would get two or three of the old-timers here to make out a paper granting it to the Memorial Park.
Oh, yes.
Preservation.
They all are for it, because I've asked every one of them.
Well, that's fine. Now, if we can get us a record, so that anything that we take in the park, we can keep it cataloged for preservation, so that sometime later somebody can't come in and sue the park for something and say we have it illegal. Everything has to be done on record.
Oh, I see. Oh, that could be easily done. You have the main mind.
if you take care of that, see that that's done, and bring it up to the auxiliary or to the angel when you come in, we'll properly record it. If that's all right.
Uh-huh.
Now, see, I had the first person.
This is
a... Yeah, that's all right. I had the first person to come in and present us a check for $25 the night before last to buy fuel for the truck, for the cab we're using. FE Company has donated another cab for us to work in the park.
Oh, I see.
And we're down there spreading out those burn piles, getting ready to burn them and clear some more ground.
That's very nice.
The first cab was given to us by Lee Martin Company and Lloyd Burgess. And the second cat we had was from Jack Parks. And then the third cat now comes from the FE Company. We did everything on donations up to now.
Wonderful. Well, now, you talked, it was Chance Wilson that came to you about the piano.
I think it was.
You see, I'm not the one. I told Chance, would there be willing?
I took him to Dawson with me last year on the trip from the Eagle.
Well, I was talking to Chance that we worked so hard to keep this for 4 years in this office locked that so that maybe the pioneers or somebody could get it that would appreciate it, or even the one of the people that donated the piano or their children, because we'd rather
it must be advertised. Now, if three or four of you or the number of you that are involved in it get together,
Chance will see.
You advertise it in the paper, then there'll be no comeback.
Chance will see came to you on I mentioned it to Chance, and he said that would be wonderful. Then he said, now I didn't know anything about it till you and Jimmy McDonald talk to me about it, you see, but that's me.
This is Harry Hughes of Igloo 4 interviewing Mr. Mrs. McCray here at Chattanooga, and they have an old-fashioned telephone here that has different rings for different people, and of course you can make a mistake, and it's like the old gossip line, everybody, you give them a long ring, they can all listen in.
Oh, sure, I can hear everybody from Fish Creek all over. There she goes again. That's no one ring. One ring goes to town, Harry.
Oh, does it?
I've got three short rings, and so forth, two and a half, and it's quite interesting, but it's annoying at night.
Well, on the Alaska Railroad, when I worked down there for years, we had that, the railroad telephone from Seward to Fairbanks in the middle of the night or any time, and start ringing. And we had a long ring. They'd ring it for 1 minute. That means everybody grabbed the phone and listened. They had orders coming.
You know, when I came to Fairbanks first, you know, I was trying to get hold of a lady, and I didn't know how to get her, so I went to the telephone and asked them if they knew there was such a person in Fairbanks. And I said, they said, oh, yes, dear, she says, she just walked up the road. If you go up the road two blocks straight ahead, one block to the right, and you see a house there with a red box, and that will be Huey Matheson's house. I went to that house, and sure enough, I followed that, and she knew this telephone operator. All you'd have to do is just ask her if she'd see, and she knew just everything that was going on in town. And I went to this party's house, and I talked to her, and I talked the Celtic language, my husband and I, which is Gaelic, of course. Just talked in Ireland and Scotland and Wales, and the same language, of course. And she talked the same language, and I said to her in my language, how are you? And she just looked up at me. She said she had never heard that language for years. She used to be in the Iditarod country, and she was so thrilled that I got hold of her, and we've been friends ever since, and that's good over 30 years.
I come out here fishing a few times when I first lived in town, and the road was almost impassable.
Oh, yes.
I remember coming right by this place here.
Yes, this used to be the highway, you know,
highway. I can't place the water wheel. I forget whether it was down here or over here.
Oh, didn't you see the water wheel?
Well, it was either down here, the brush is going up. I don't see it no more.
Oh, yes, and she's up there, you know, on...
But it's about half a mile down here on the south side.
Chance we'll see would give you the history of that, because all I can remember is that wheel was pushing the water back so that it would go back up the creek.
It raised up the hill, sure.
Sure. And that was really quite a thing. But you think, Harry, now that we have a powerhouse up in the Chattanooga River.
Yeah.
Just Yes. Oh, they put more than that out. Do you think I put lost more than that out? That was deep on the pole.
Well, now that ring on the telephone was the hydroelectric plant that was installed here near Chattanooga.
Yes, and that was Dick Delich, who is in charge there.
Now, you can give us what year.
I'm not quite sure. I think it must be 4 years ago that they started this, when the company, this Davidson Ditch, this hydroelectric took it over, and they're using it because the company don't use it anymore. Because, Harry, we're through here this year, and there won't be no more dredging in Chattanooga. Unless, of course, the gold goes up, but you never know. They've got all kinds of ground here, but it doesn't pay to dredge. They're going in the hole, and they can't afford it.
Now, does this water plant, this hydroelectric plant, run in the winter, too?
No.
It shuts down and just runs for the
summer.
It shuts
in the summertime. It just works until fall, until the dredge is through. So, they, of course, give a lot of power to town. Through the line is going, through the FE lines is going straight to town, and this power is going all through to town, coming back up to Chattanooga.
But they got an exchange contract. Well, now, I want you to tell me a little more about that bear that come here trying to crawl in the window.
Oh, well, in all these years, I've had lots of bear, you know. But the black bears never bothered us too much. We fed them. But this year, it was 3 years ago, this bear came. I was cooking a roast. So this bear could smell, of course, the roast. And he came to the screen door and wanted to get in. I thought it was somebody. And I kept on saying, come on in, come on in. And nobody was coming in. Looked on. Here was the nose of this bear on the screen. And I thought it was a black bear because I had no idea in this country that we had brown bear, but very likely there's a few of them comes around. So I went out and hit him with a stone in the head, and he never moved and just shook his head and just charged me. So I thought, well, this is dangerous because he must be awfully hungry. And I closed the door on his nose. And my husband at that time came home to phone at 9 o'clock. I kept on making signs to him to look, and he seen him, and anyways, he came, and don't say anything. He got in the meantime into the garbage, you see, and he was right there. They have the potato peelings in the garbage, and he was having more fun there. And I said, I think it says, this is a dangerous bear, because don't go near it. You can't fight this bear. He seems to me to be a little bit different. He had a different head on him. And my husband started to shoot him, and the gun jammed, and he couldn't get the bullet out. So he went and got one of the boys, and they shushed him up a little ways in the trees, and they had to shoot because we knew he was dangerous. And that's the only one that ever attacked me. I mean, that I couldn't get away from the house.
Do you know how many kinds of bear there is in Alaska?
Well, no. All I know is the bears we have here. And I have never...
I've seen every kind of bear.
You have?
Yes, I've seen.
No, that's something.
The brown bear, the black bear, the grizzly bear, the glacier bear, and the blue bear.
What do we have here, then?
We have just the black and brown, and occasionally a grizzly comes in here.
Oh, there's a grizzly up at Long Creek now.
Yeah, grizzly and comes in here. The brown bear normally don't come this far in, but there's a few do. They come in around McKinley Park.
Yes, I have.
I've seen quite a few on McKinley Park.
Because I took the picture of this, and everybody knew that it was.
But I've seen all the bear in the years I've been here. I've tramped around the hill.
Oh, of course. You know, the black bear has got more of a longer face, but this one is a bigger, fatter head.
But like you said, I've never had one bother me.
Oh.
I had one stand up in the trail in front of me, and I beat on my pan, I hollered and shoot, and he wouldn't do it.
I did,
too. He'd just stand there and sniff the air at me.
Oh, yes, I've done that fishing many minutes at a time. They came after me fishing, but I squished them away. But this kind, you couldn't. Do you remember when Dan Gillis was attacked by a black? Well, you know that I took Dan Gillis out of the hospital to Fairbanks Creek. He was pretty badly mauled. He was very lucky. And that night, our transformers blew. And poor Dan had to get out of our house in the middle of the night.
This is the end of this side of this tape.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
I'm going to turn the tape over.
Yes.
And we'll give Mrs. McCrae a chance to